This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. California has joined five other states to oppose a federal travel ban from several predominantly Muslim countries. From KQED's California Politics and Government Desk, Marisa Lagos reports the state is asking the same judge who blocked President Trump's first executive order to step in again.
California Attorney General Javier Becerra says President Trump's second, more narrow order, barring all refugees as well as travelers from six majority Muslim countries, is still unconstitutional because it discriminates on the basis of religion. Becerra is one of six attorneys general asking a federal judge in Washington state to prevent the order from taking effect Thursday. The states, led by Washington, sued in January over the first more expansive executive order and succeeded in getting it blocked. Last Monday, Trump issued a second order that omitted legal U.S. residents and visa holders from the ban. But Becerra says the second executive order remains unconstitutional and illegal and will hurt residents, businesses, and colleges in California, where 27% of residents are foreign-born. U.S. District Judge James Robert is asking lawyers for the Trump administration to respond to the newest lawsuit by the end of the day today and says he may schedule a hearing for Wednesday. For the California Report, I'm Marisa Lagos.
Meanwhile, the ACLU in San Diego is suing the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice. They say people in immigration detention are routinely locked up for months before they ever see a judge, and that violates their constitutional rights. KPBS reporter Jean Guerrero has the story.
People charged with crimes usually get to see a judge within 48 hours, but that's not the case in immigration court. Bardis Vakili of the ACLU of San Diego says on average, there's a two-month delay from the time these immigrants are detained to the time they first meet an immigration judge.
And due process requires that if the government is going to deprive someone of their liberty, they need to be given some fair process. And locking them up and throwing away the key for 2 months or 3 months or longer is hardly a fair process.
He says the lawsuit aims to end these long detentions prior to court hearings in San Diego and Imperial counties. About 1,500 people are currently held in the two detention facilities in this region. The Department of Justice declined to comment, and Homeland Security hasn't responded to a request for comment. For the California Report, I'm Jean Guerrero in San Diego.
Now, generally, if you are hearing this song, you or someone you love has just racked up a ton of debt. For those who graduated from college in 2016, that debt is about $37,000, with the average monthly payment being about $300. Well, debt-free college may be a possibility for California low- and middle-income students. State Assembly Democrats announced a proposal yesterday to help full-time UC and CSU students pay for non-tuition-related expenses like books and housing. Sacramento Assemblyman Kevin McCarty says the plan will make higher education more accessible.
Too often, college is out of reach and unattainable for middle-class and lower-income families. And those that do get there, they graduate with mountains of debt.
The plan is short on details, but sponsors say the program would cost more than $1 billion a year when fully implemented. Will likely face resistance from Governor Jerry Brown. He's already proposing phasing out the state's middle-class scholarship in this year's budget proposal. Let's stay with higher education. The University of California Board of Regents is expected to vote for Berkeley's first female chancellor. Carol T. Crist has been picked to replace the outgoing Nicholas Dirks, who's leaving after a bumpy 3.5-year tenure. Crist first came to campus in 1970 as a professor and has been promoted to a number of key administrative positions. UC Regent and former State Assembly Speaker John Perez says Crist knows Berkeley and will hit the ground running.
So her sets of experiences really make her uniquely well-positioned to lead the university in this moment of challenge.
The university is facing a $110 million budget deficit. Silicon Valley Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna traveled to eastern Kentucky on Monday for an event meant to build relationships between tech companies and a new potential talent pool for local industry. From WFPL in Louisville, Erica Peterson has the story.
Eastern Kentucky has been one of the poorest parts of the country for decades, but the region's problems have increased in recent years with the decline of good-paying coal mining jobs. Enter technology. The only infrastructure that's needed for jobs like coding to thrive is a high-speed internet connection. And while that isn't exactly a given in eastern Kentucky, partnerships with established tech companies are attractive to local leaders. To underscore that point, Congressman Ro Khanna visited the rural town of Paintsville, Kentucky, Monday for the announcement of the expansion of a local tech training program. He says it's important to build connections between Silicon Valley and talent pools in unexpected areas.
It's a huge potential workforce of talented people for the Valley, and of course they're being trained on products that are made in my district and on Apple and Google software, which is why they were excited to have me down there.
This new class of tech trainees announced in Paintsville is starting small. The Louisville tech startup Interapt will educate and train 50 people with the goal of hiring them. For the California Report, I'm Erica Peterson in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yesterday, the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office released its analysis of the American Health Care Act, the Trump administration's plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. The CBO analysis says 14 million Americans could lose coverage in 2018, with that number rising to 24 million Americans by 2026. KQED health editor Carrie Feibel sat down with California's insurance commissioner Dave Jones recently to talk about some of his concerns with the plan so far.
Abortion in California law needs to be included in insurance plans, but the Republican plan in Congress would actually explicitly forbid using those federal tax credits to purchase an insurance plan that covered abortion. So where do you see that potential conflict going?
So there's a direct conflict in laws between what the federal GOP proposal is and what's in California law. In California law, as you pointed out, we require that health insurance in the individual and small group market include abortion coverage. The GOP Trump Care proposal would eliminate the ability of people to get the premium tax credit subsidy if they buy health insurance that has abortion coverage. That puts those two body of laws in direct conflict. We're urging Congress not to include that provision. In fact, we're urging Congress not to move forward with the whole Trump Care proposal because of all of its negative consequences for California.
Many Californians are talking about and would like to see a single-payer plan someday, and some lawmakers have just introduced a bill that would start exploring how that would look. What's your take on a single-payer plan?
The evidence is that it's the most efficient and cost-effective way to provide health care. We have a single-payer plan in the United States. It's called Medicare, and it works reasonably well for seniors. The idea is the government is the payer. You still have private hospitals and private doctors and physicians groups and other medical providers, but the government is the payer, and you get all the middle people and all the profit-taking out of the system. You can still have health insurance on top of it, much as we do with Medicare, where you can buy health insurance on top of the basic Medicare. You could have that with a Medicare for all as well. So you'd still have a private market component, but you'd have a basic comprehensive health plan available to all Californians. And I think it's the way we ought to go.
But Medicare is a national program. Could California afford to do single payer just for the state?
That is the challenge. And certainly with the federal government threatening to take away up to $20 billion in current funding under the Affordable Care Act, it makes it very, very difficult for any state to pursue these kinds of reforms.
What are you most worried about? What keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night is the reversal of the progress we've made over the last 6 years. 5 million Californians whose lives are improved, who are able to get health care, who in some cases are alive today because of the Affordable Care Act, their well-being, their health is at risk because of the Trump Care proposal.
Thank you very much, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Among the biggest changes in the GOP plan to repeal and replace Obamacare involve reworking Medicaid, called Medi-Cal here in California. Under the Republican proposal, the federal government would no longer give states matching funds. And as Stephanie O'Neill reports, that has advocates for the elderly worried.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
It's a Sunday evening at the Long Beach home of Charlotte and Mark Altieri. Time for their kids, 2-year-old Gino and 5-month-old Jesse, to take their baths.
Jesse, you can go sleep.
I'm not all wet.
They're not all wet?
No.
Okay. You want me to hold them for you?
No, mine.
Okay.
In this moment, at least, 39-year-old Charlotte is able to focus on her children rather than worrying about her mother, 71-year-old Carmencita Misa. 3 years ago, a debilitating stroke stole Misa's short-term memory, her sight, and her mobility. Ever since, she's needed 24/7 care, which she now gets in a nearby nursing home. Charlotte says she wishes she could provide that care to her mom, but she can't.
It's not just physically having to, like, the logistics of, like, two kids and their energies, and if they're hungry or if they're sleepy, it is me trying to get my brain and my heart together to go visit my mom, who's not my mom. She's just laying there.
Initially, it was Medicare, the federal insurance program for those 65 and older that paid for Misa's skilled nursing care. But unbeknownst to many, that program limits such care to 100 days. And that left Charlotte scrambling to figure out how to pay for her mom's monthly nursing home bill.
The $5,000, we were wondering where it was going to come from.
For Misa and tens of thousands of other low-income Californians who need ongoing long-term care, it's Medicaid, called Medi-Cal in California, that foots the bill. Matt Salo heads the National Association of Medicaid Directors. He says many people think most of the program's spending goes to low-income families.
But what really comes as a big surprise to almost everybody is that that's not where Medicaid spends most of its dollars.
Instead, he says, about two-thirds of the annual budget is spent on elderly enrollees and those with disabilities. And that's why patient advocates are worried about GOP plans to cap federal Medicaid spending on a per-person basis. Eric Carlson is an attorney for the nonprofit group Justice in Aging. He warns that replacing the current formula with so-called per capita caps is certain to hurt older Americans.
It's really a form of rationing where you have the care based on the money that's been budgeted rather than on the needs of the people, and that's entirely backwards.
Orrin Cass, a senior fellow with the conservative Manhattan Institute, disagrees.
It just forces states to work within the budget constraints of a fixed amount of federal money, which, by the way, is how every other part of our government already works.
But that does little to reassure Charlotte Altieri. She says she worries about her mom's well-being if California is forced to balance its Medi-Cal budget on the backs of the state's most vulnerable people. For the California Report, I'm Stephanie O'Neill in Los Angeles.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Endowment, working to achieve health and justice for all. Learn more at calendow.org. Barracuda Networks, security, data protection, and application delivery solutions for physical networks and public cloud services. Learn more at barracuda.com/products. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, March 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.